You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Round the world, spread the word, down the line, all join hands in the prayer, gonna get on to heaven on time, yeah, yeah. Sing.
All join hands to raise the roof benefit dinner Monday, March 30th at the Palmer House Hilton to raise funds for the repair of Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. Welcome to Catholic Community Faith. Time in Chicago is 9:01. Co-host Wayne Majors, vice president and chief of staff, Loyola University. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. Nice to see you again.
I think your mic's not working.
I'll use your mic. I'll just
yell over there.
With your six-eight frame.
How have you been?
Doing very well.
Good.
How are you doing, Wayne?
It's been a while since we've worked together, and it's nice to be back. A
couple of weeks since we've been together. Any plans you have for the weekend that you can tell us about?
Nothing that I can say on the air, no.
Okay.
Besides going to at least two liturgies at Holy Name Cathedral this weekend, I have no other plans. My pastor is sitting across the table.
Wayne, you better be on your best behavior.
So I'm on my
with
best
your
behavior.
Pastor here from the cathedral.
And I just wanted to let him know that I've already been to 7 o'clock Mass this morning. Father Pat Lagus had it, so like, in case he's doubting my sincerity, it's all out on the table.
But
now,
the key question is, are you using your envelopes?
Yeah. That's right.
That's the key question I would have from one pastor
Father
to another.
Father Dan, when my mother was ill and was unable to go to Sunday Mass, Father Sackowitz would routinely remind her that God would forgive so long as she sent the envelope in. It made her feel much better in her final days.
I'm very pastoral.
Yes.
And welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, phone number 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408, call in. And we are here today with a very important topic. As I mentioned earlier, all join hands to raise the roof benefit dinner Monday, March 30th at the Palmer House Hilton to raise funds for the repair of Holy Name Cathedral. We'll talk about the fundraiser as well as the cathedral, its history, the extent of work that needs to be done, the bravery of many firefighters who saved the cathedral. Our guest all in studio, Father Dan Mayall, pastor of Holy Name Cathedral, great priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Also with us in studio, Greg Veith, manager of facilities and construction for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Millie Striegel, benefit co-chairperson of the benefit All Join Hands to Raise the Roof, and Mary Canavan, chair of the Parish Pastoral Council at the Cathedral. Wayne, are we missing anybody? Have we named all the parishioners?
I think that's it. The rest of the parishioners are in the hall. We're ready to go.
Well, welcome to all of you. Father Dan Mayall, pastor of the cathedral, this has been an incredible nightmare regarding what has happened going back. Maybe back up a little bit before we get into last year and the fire last month or how long it's been. Give a little brief history of the Holy Name Cathedral. When did it start? I know you've got a lot of the history down.
Holy Name Cathedral was the chapel of the University of St. Mary of the Lake, which was the first university in the state of Illinois, founded in the 1840s. And the Irish immigrants who lived north of the river found that a home for themselves. as opposed to St. Joseph Church, which was only a half a block away, but where the sermons were preached in German and the confessions were heard in German. So if they wanted to have their sins absolved or to hear the sermon, they had to go to the Irish church. So that became a parish in 1849. It became the cathedral after the Chicago fire. So we've survived a fire before. And we grew up as the cathedral after the Chicago fire and have been the cathedral ever since then. It's undergone several renovations over the years, a lot of big and major ones like 1968 and 69. But right now, we've been in an unusual position the last 2 years, catching lightning in the bottle twice in a row in February. February 12th last year, a piece of the ceiling fell down in the middle of the night. Nobody was hurt. We found it in the morning and knew we had a problem. Structural engineer told us a couple weeks later we had a serious problem. He didn't know why we were still standing. And so he had to go up and make sure he knew why we were standing. And that was the work that was done last year and was continuing and will continue. It's continuing even this morning until at least August. That was what put us behind the financial eight ball. But then this year, of course, the fire in February, on February the 4th, that is still of undetermined causes. That was a very serious thing, but brought everything back to everybody's attention again.
Now, when the cathedral was closed on February 12th of 2008, it reopened in November.
In August. August, last weekend of August, so we were closed for about 6 months.
So literally you were only open for about 4 or 5 months before fire struck on February 4th of this year.
4 months again. We're going to skip February next year.
Yeah, definitely.
January
right
to April.
That's right. Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Mary, one thing that is evident from as a parishioner of the cathedral is that there has been a tremendous amount of support for Father Mayall, for his staff, from the parishioners of the cathedral. And I would imagine the pastoral council has played a really key role in kind of seeing this through and the trials and tribulations of the past year plus, right?
Right. I think it was a big surprise to everyone when it happened again. But we had the experience from last year. And one of the things that the parish council stepped up to do was to reinstate the greeter ministry. Because, as you know, being a parishioner, a large number of people who attend our liturgies every weekend are visitors. And they have no idea, if you have a sign up saying Masses in the parish center, how to find the parish center. So at times it feels like, I've said to people, like it's the Middle Ages and you're doing some type of penance standing on the church steps when it's 20 degrees and snowing. But I think it makes a big difference. And now we have invited all of the major groups in the cathedral to join us in the greeter ministry. So that's transitioning.
So you all take turns greeting and welcoming people and giving them the proper direction on where to go.
Right, and we have 8 masses each weekend. So you
actually
do get
12 right 12? Now because we added 4.
That's right, our overflow masses. So we have them in the
club room. And that, I can imagine, has been a tremendous help because just walking down State Street periodically, people walking by who are clearly visitors, seeing the cathedral shrouded in fencing and looking much like it's on life support, as I said to somebody the other day, it's important to help people to navigate and find Mass, find other sacraments that are available.
And you'd be surprised. Some people haven't heard that there's a fire if they're from out of town, and they're amazed. And then other people, last week, it was fun. Father and I were out there in the rain before the 11 o'clock Mass, and there was a couple of parishioners who were very happy, I think, to see him out there directing them.
And to watch the expressions on the faces when they get out of the cabs and look at this. Yeah. What's happening here?
Yeah, what happened to the cathedral? We're going to go to a break here. We're going to come back then and talk with Greg and then a million, a few others here. You're listening to a Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Phone number 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sachs along with co-host Wayne Majors. We're talking with about All Join Hands to Raise the Roof Benefit Dinner on Monday, March 30th. At the Palmer House Hilton to raise funds for the repairs of Holy Name Cathedral. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
You are listening to the uplifting sounds of the Master Singers of Archmere Academy in Delaware. Hello, I'm Father Jordan Kelly, co-founder of the Master Singers, and I would like to invite you to an evening of spiritual folk and love songs by this Championship Chamber Choir. We will gather at 7 p.m. on Saturday, March the 28th, in the beautiful setting of St. James Chapel at the Quigley Center. That's at the corner of Rush and Pearson. Your $12 donation will help support the evangelization ministry of the Archdiocese of Chicago. For more information and for tickets, call 312-534-5299 or visit www.goingforth.org. Let me give you that number again, 312-534-5299. I hope to see you Saturday, March 28th, for an evening with the Master Singers of Archmere Academy.
Raise your voice. We will follow His command. Time has come. All join in. Let's do a little singing now. La, 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 shina.
Welcome back to Catholic Communion of Faith on Relevant Radio.
You'll get it right,
9:50 a.m. Welcome back to the program. Talking this morning about the upcoming fundraiser, all join hands to raise the roof for Holy Name Cathedral. Father Dan Mayall, the pastor of the cathedral, is with us this morning. Millie Striegel, the benefit co-chairperson. Mary Canavan, who is the chair of the Holy Name Pastoral Parish Pastoral Council. And Greg Veith, manager of facilities and construction for the Archdiocese. Greg, it's almost like deja vu. You've kind of been through this before with the cathedral and the structural issues that Father Dan mentioned before the break. But what's gonna happen once work, which really hasn't yet begun, on fixing the damage from the fire at the cathedral? What's the first step, and what do you think it's going to take in order to get us back in operation?
Well, the first step is to complete our investigation of any possible structural damage to the trusses, columns, et cetera, up in the attic where the fire was. Last year, as everybody here knows, we repaired all of those structural items, and we are continuing the repair of the columns on the exterior. We have not been able to get at all of the columns and all of the trusses to ascertain the real damage. Once we've ascertained that, we have enough experience now to come up with solutions to repair these various structural components.
And is it safe to assume that most of the interior damage of the cathedral was really caused by water rather than fire, or a little bit of both?
On the interior of the cathedral, it's mainly the water damage. And the ceiling is actually in very good shape right now. We immediately went into a very scientific drying method to keep all of these wood materials from warping. It was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week project. And then we think it's been very successful. We have not noticed any warping at all in the ceiling. We had some plaster damage in the column caps from the weight of the water. We had some marble damage on the exterior of the columns. But the pieces of marble we've been able to save intact. And we can replace all of those or reinstall them. So,
and if there's anything good that has come out of this, it's the fact that during the ceiling and structural repairs that happened last year, and the replacement of a lot of the wood with the steel, It's very possible that the roof may not have held had it not been for the steel support that was done last year, and we still were dealing with roof trusses, right?
With the amount of water that was put on that fire, and as we were in the church that morning about 10 o'clock, it was like a rainforest in there. So we had a tremendous amount of weight that was put on the building. And in my opinion, the structural repairs we did last year actually saved us from collapsing due to that weight.
It's almost incredible that without the new roof in 08, the whole cathedral could have collapsed within itself with the weight of the water and with the old wood and the speed of the fire to be burning.
I think that's a distinct possibility. We've discussed it at length with our engineers, and we're of that opinion.
And now, along those lines, Millie Striegel, the benefit co-chairperson, how did this dinner come about, and what do you hope to raise, and how can tickets be purchased? Kind of give us a little bit of the background.
This dinner came about it's an example of the support that we have received from the community and which we truly appreciate. The Palmer House Hilton stepped forth and offered to underwrite a benefit.
Wait, they're going to underwrite the benefit?
They are underwriting the benefit. And that allows us to have this dinner and reach out to all of the community and invite them to come on down to the Palmer House on March 30th. And it also provides an opportunity for the Cathedral, Father Mayo, Cardinal George, and all others to thank the emergency responders for their heroic efforts in saving the cathedral. The Palmer House has undergone a new restoration, and I'm sure many of the listeners out there, the older ones, will remember the Empire Room for their prom and things like that. So come on down that night. It's going to be a wonderful, fabulous dinner.
Now, please let our listeners know that the event on March 30th is not just a one-time event, but it kind of launches something year-long?
It is the springboard and the kickoff for the All Join Hands to Raise the Roof Fund campaign that will go on all year.
And maybe for Father Dan Mayall, in the accounts that we were reading about in the newspaper the days after the fire, just maybe share something regarding the heroism of many of the firefighters.
Those are great stories, Greg. They told us that if that first group hadn't put water on the fire when they did, the cathedral would be down right now. And normally, that would not be their response. If they saw an odd-shaped building like the cathedral with flames coming through the roof, their instructions would have been, just keep it from spreading. The building's gone. Somehow, they decided they were going to go up. And they got a hold of Father Matt Compton. Now, there's Providence right there. Compton had been up there last year. He climbed it himself. He knew what was up there. I've never been up there. I'm not going to go up there. I'm too old. I'm too heavy. But he went up there. And he knew exactly where they were supposed to go. He pointed it out to them. They went. Eight firemen went up there carrying a hose, put water on the fire. And if they hadn't, the cathedral would be down right now. Two of those guys were on their third day on the job. Somebody asked him, said, how did you know what to do? We were trained well, they said. I made sure that the chief in charge of the fire academy heard that sentence.
Which means you had some of the firefighters go, in a sense, under the fire on a plank and now be shooting up at the fire.
They were shooting across at the fire. I understand all they had was the light of the fire to go by, too. There's no light up there.
There's just a very thin wooden plank that they were walking across and then shoot across the fire because as you're coming with the water from above, that would not have contained it.
That's right. They walked before the water from above got there, before the snorkels got there. They were putting water on the fire. They walked across the width of the cathedral in order to get to where the fire was. And so it was 70 feet below them.
Wow.
Yeah.
They literally risked their lives.
Somebody told me that the most important thing a fireman does is save a life. Now, no lives are in jeopardy here. But as far as property was concerned, this may have been the biggest save in the history of the Chicago Fire Department.
Yeah. Wow.
One of the big challenges, Father Dan, and something that I'm sure you'll remember for a number of years, is how do you keep a faith community like Holy Name, which not only has its permanent parishioners, but also a huge number. And you well point that out when you celebrate Mass at the cathedral by asking the parishioners that are present how many are from Chicago, the state of Illinois, within the country, across the world. And as you point out, there's always a group from every one of those subsets. But amidst all of this, if I may, chaos, especially after coming off of 8 months out of the cathedral and now back in for a brief period of time and now out, what has been the biggest challenge for you as a pastor to kind of keep it all together and keep the groups like the Parish Pastoral Council, the parishioners, and all of the people that help and support you kind of focused on what we're really all about, which is more than just a building?
We say as often as we can, the most important thing we do is give praise to God. And we still do that. We do it from an auditorium. We do it from a club room, but not a cathedral. But we still do it, and we do it very well. I've got a staff, and I've got a lay leadership that's unlike any other parishes, not only in size, but also in dedication to the place. And, you know, people like Mary who have stepped up, and all the members of the Parish Pastoral Council, and volunteers like Millie, those are people that make the place work.
What's interesting is that, Dan, is just in terms of we talk about church is people. The church are the people. So you need to have a beautiful cathedral is so, so important. But beyond the building is we are the body of Christ. The community, you know, to rise to the occasion. And we're going to go back to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:21 on this cold, frigid Friday morning in Chicago, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. And all join hands to raise the roof. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Are you or someone you know experiencing the sadness of infertility? Are you committed to spreading the gospel of life? Then join us on Saturday, March 28th at the Marriott O'Hare for a major conference on Dignitas Personae, the new Vatican instruction on bioethics. Dr. Thomas Hilgers, a pioneer in assisting infertile couples to have children, will present on NAPO technology. Neuroscientist Father Tad Boholchik will discuss the Church's guidance on artificial reproductive technologies. Cardinal George will present on the dignity of the human person, and Bob Gilligan will discuss key legislative issues that impact our faith. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office, the Office for Evangelization, and Relevant Radio. Attendance is $35 and includes breakfast, lunch, parking, and materials. For more information or to register, go to www.respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
The Jewish and Catholic Communities of Chicago will co-sponsor the 14th annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture on Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at the Lincoln Park campus of DePaul University. Professor John Levinson will speak on monotheism and chosenness, the Abrahamic foundation of Judaism and Roman Catholicism. Dr. Levinson is Albert A. List Professor of Jewish Studies at Harvard Divinity School and recently co-authored Resurrection, The Power of God for Christians and Jews with Kevin Madigan of Harvard Divinity School. At the lecture, His Eminence Francis Cardinal George will attend and greet the audience. The date again is Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Admission is free, but reservations are requested. Please call 312-534-5325 to reserve your place. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith.
Stop dancing.
Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Father Dan Mayall, there's a story behind the song that we're listening to, right? Ides of March?
The Ides of March are a Chicago group that's been a rock band since 1964. The original four members are still in the group. There's eight of them all together, and they've had their own career, and then some of them have gone on to write music for other people. Jim Peterick, the head singer, is most famous for songs like Eye of the Tiger. Their own group, the most famous song was Vehicle. Those are things that were very popular songs, and they've continued to be since 1990, a summertime festival band, yeah. And they've had another second career with that, and they've been connected with Holy Name Cathedral for about 4 years.
Well, tell us about this song, All Join Hands. How did this connect with the cathedral?
Through me, they put together a little four-number CD that funded our Catholic Charities Thursday Night Suppers, and All Join Hands was on that CD already. They marketed this song before. And when we thought we were going to pass a basket on that first Sunday after the fire, I thought of this right away. I said, let's get these guys on board, because they called me the second day and said, what can we do to help? They're friends of Holy Name Cathedral.
It's a great song, and think of the Ides of March.
It's another Chicago institution helping another Chicago institution.
They go back 40,
just like the Palmer
House. They go back 45 years. Yeah. I remember when I was a boy listening to the Ides of March, and they're a great
group. I don't remember
that.
I was way too young.
You were a boy. I'm still their age, Greg.
Wayne, don't start with me. That's right. Greg, the question that many, many, many people are asking is about when will the cathedral reopen?
That's still a very difficult question to answer, and normally I will not answer that question, but the way things look right today, we are hoping and praying to be open August 1st.
So the goal would be August 1st, give or take, but knowing that complications could set in, and that's just a goal target date.
That's a goal target date, and it will depend entirely on when we can continue and complete our investigation of the structural members.
And Mary Canavan, the chair of the Parish Pastoral Council, what has been the response of many people? I know you mentioned earlier in terms of people greeting before Mass to get people in, but has there been at some point frustration? I know there's tons of gathering people together, but this has been tough to be out of the church for so long.
I think initially, right after the fire, I think initially there was that reaction. A number of people were mentioning the movie Groundhog Day, like, we've been here before, haven't we? You know, and I think Father's right. We'll miss February next year. We'll skip it.
I'm getting used to the squeaky seats in the auditorium.
Someone suggested maybe to have like a little project where everybody bring an oil can and spend a Saturday and oil all the seats. But that's something to put on the agenda. But in any case, I think people now, after the initial shock, they are back in. Everybody's worshiping together. You know, we do have a good, strong parish family that will get through this. And I just want to remind all of you Catholics out there in the Chicago area, we are still open for business, even though we're not in the cathedral. So if you're downtown, please check on our website. You can see the time of our masses. And we'd be happy to welcome you and direct you through the maze to our Mass at the Parish Center.
And I think it's important to say that, you know, this is the cathedral church of the Archdiocese. It's the seat of the Archbishop. So this is more than just a neighborhood parish where those who live and work in the area frequent. This is really an opportunity for the Archdiocesan faith community as a whole to really step up and support the Cardinal, to step up and support the Mother Church of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Millie, the event is coming up on Monday, March 30th at the Palmer House Hilton. There are still tickets available, yes?
Yes.
Best way to get them?
The best way to get them is to visit www.holynamecathedral.org.
Once again,
www.holynamecathedral.org. And the individual tickets are $100 per person. It includes fabulous dinner, cocktails, wine.
And what time do the doors open?
The doors open at 5:30, and all of the proceeds go to the All Join Hands to raise the roof fund.
And the thing is, what about a phone number instead of going to the web? Well, give us a phone number, Dan.
312-787-8040.
That number once again.
312-787-8040.
And you'll be directed to the appropriate person.
And the thing is, what do you hope to raise that evening, Millie?
Well, our goal would probably be $500,000, but we will raise as much as we can.
And what is the capacity for the evening that night?
1,000 or 1,200 people.
Oh, so we're talking plenty of tickets available and
yes,
plenty of room available.
And you were coming down, you'd have a wonderful evening at the Palmer House Hilton, and at the same time donating the full amount to the cathedral.
Imagine the generosity of the Palmer House. And the Ides of March.
To underwrite the entire dinner for 1,000 people and the Ides of March with all they're doing, their work and their generosity. We need to bring this segment to a close. You've been listening to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majars. And our guests this first half hour have been Father Dan Mayall, the pastor of Holy Name Cathedral, Greg Veith, manager of facilities and construction for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Millie Striegel, the benefit co-chairperson for the event, all join hands with the music in the background to raise the roof, and Mary Canavan, chair of the Parish Pastoral Council of the Cathedral. To all of you, God bless. Our prayers, love, support are with you, and together we all hold hands. Stay with us here on Relevant Radio 950. We'll be back right after a break.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave her a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. Co-host with me, Wayne Majars, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University, Chicago. Wayne, we're... Michael Bay, the engineer, has written here for us, Father Greg is good for 500 tables for help raise the roof
yes,
at Holy Name Cathedral.
At least.
I'll have to get a paper route.
I think so.
Beyond what I'm doing. And we have with us on phone the Catholic New World editor, Joyce DeRiga, Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you.
Good. Welcome to the radio program. Time in Chicago is 9:33. So, Joyce, please let us know what's happening in the latest edition of the Catholic New World.
Okay. Before we do that, I just wanted to – I've been listening on the way in and just let people know that, you know, one, we've been covering – they can keep up with what's gone on with the cathedral through the New World. We've been – since the roof incident or the ceiling incident last year, we've done periodic updates with the cathedral, and every time, you know, there's an event has to move, like the rite of elections had to move, ordinations will have to move, different things like that. They can keep up to date with that with us or online at the www.catholicnewworld.com. You have to put the W's in front of it right
so
now.
www.catholicnewworld.org.
Com.
.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, doga.com. Okay.
And then there's also a photo gallery that's on there. Our photographer has been documenting it the whole way along, and so one of our photo galleries is all about the cathedral, what had happened last year, and then there's stuff from the fire and things that we'll just keep adding to that so they can see.
You gave extensive coverage all last year, and again when the fire broke out on February 4th. It was great, great coverage. But what is coming up in the latest edition?
This one, we've got post coverage from Catholics in the Capitol. Cardinal George wrote about it and all the different issues that they were trying to further during that event. Plus, we've got coverage from the event from different people. So if people couldn't go, they can still get an idea of the legislative topics that are important to the church in Illinois. We've also got some stories, pre-story about the prayer breakfast. The Illinois Catholic prayer breakfast is coming up on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
We did something fun this week with our center spread. We went to a fish fry out at St. Ferdinand's. They have a drive-through, which makes them a little.
Wait,
more.
Wait, time out. A drive-through fish fry.
They've got the regular.
We could have fun with that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
that's what I call entrepreneurial spirit within the parish.
A drive-through fish fry.
So it's kind of a fun center spread with lots of big pictures and stuff. And then we've got some Lenten meditations, of course, and our Aware of St. Paul feature that. We've been having fun with this year in the year of St. Paul. So it's all good stuff. And they can find it, too, and subscribe on CatholicNewWorld.com. And
now, if someone wanted to call in to subscribe, what is the phone number, Joyce?
It's 312-534-7777.
The number once again.
312-534-7777.
Well, Joyce DiRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, thank you for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Keep up the outstanding work you do for the Catholic New World. It's a great reading. And we'll see you before the next issue. We'll talk once again. We're going back to a break here on Relevant Radio 950. Time in Chicago is coming up on 9:37 on this blustery Friday morning in Chicago.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majar is on Relevant Radio 950. Time is coming up on 9:39 here in Chicago. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We have with us in studio Mary Louise Curry, the director of our Respect Life office, the Archdiocese of Chicago, and there's plenty to talk about regarding Respect Life issues this week. President Obama expanded federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. And Mary Louise was also in Springfield last week testifying before a committee regarding the possible elimination of the Health Care Right of Conscience Act. This is a hot topic in Springfield right now and also was one of the several issues targeted last week at the Catholics at the Capitol rally. Mary Louise Curry, the director of our Respect Life office in the Archdiocese, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thanks, Father Greg. Good to be with you. Wayne, good to be with you as well.
Always right? Nice to see you. You're always smiling.
Always, Mary Louise is always so unlike you, Wayne. You always
unlike
kind of,
me.
You're such a downer.
Frowning.
And to smile this week. It's been a really tough week for life issues. So to be still smiling this week is very important.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot to cover in the next 20 minutes. Let's back up to last week. Tell us about the event in Springfield, your involvement. But maybe one sidebar question I need to first ask is, the event that happened on March 4th down in Springfield, next day in the newspaper, there was nothing.
Really?
Literally next
that
to nothing.
So
it was like it never happened.
You mean in the Tribune?
Tribune, Times, nothing. So tell us what was going on in Springfield, the purpose of last Wednesday, and also your involvement with that committee report.
Well, there are about 4,500 Catholics that converged on Springfield on March 4th for Catholics at the Capitol to advocate in favor of, and in some cases in opposition to, important bills that are being considered. And there are actually eight different bills that people were working on that ranged from immigration. Instruction in Spanish language in parishes and getting funding for that, to Catholic charities issues, hospitals issues, and these life issues. And a couple of bills in particular, one is would have permitted a woman to be offered an ultrasound before an abortion. It would require abortion facilities to offer that to women. And then another, and this is the one that's particularly, I've actually never been so worried about, I think, anything that I've ever done here in my life than this bill, because it would eliminate health care rights of conscience, but it also would eliminate all common sense restrictions on abortion, like parental notice, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, even like the physician-only requirement that only doctors do abortions, sanitary regulations for clinics. I mean, any kind of common sense regulation would not be permissible under
Mary Louise, where's all this coming from? Is this a particular pocket of interest groups that are starting to get their agenda in the forefront, or what?
Well, I think it's coming from the pit of hell, actually. No.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yes, that's the problem, actually, is that in Springfield, let's face it, the pro-life side is totally outgunned, because there's a very strong PAC called Personal PAC, and last year they raised like $1.1 or $1.2 million. The pro-life PACs, there are a few very, very small ones, raised a total of under $20,000. Mm. So just getting absolutely outgunned in terms of legislators being worried, hey, if I don't vote with Personal PAC, even though I think this bill is insane and Catholic hospitals shouldn't have to be involved with abortions, if I don't vote with them, they're going to pour hundreds of thousands into an opponent in my next
campaign. Mary Louise, say something about Personal PAC. That's kind of a new term. I think many people would be unaware of it. When did they begin? And they seem to be extremely powerful.
Oh, they are. I'm not sure when they began here in Illinois, but they've been around for quite a while. And they are powerful. In fact, a legislator had told Bob, which he passed on to me, that, the head of Personal PAC had visited her and said, hey, if you don't change your position, we're going to defeat you. And, they act like they own the Capitol. So we have the people. I mean,
but they seem to have the money.
That's the problem. Right. So this past week, Planned Parenthood had their action day. They had 50, 60 people, something like that. We bring 4,500. There's no comparison, but it's the whole funding issue. So we really, that's why this bill, we've really got to get people calling their legislators and telling them to vote no, because if it passes, it's going to be a tremendous uphill battle in Illinois, and especially for our hospitals.
Do Catholics understand that? I mean, overall, I imagine you guys spent a lot of time trying to get to the various parishes, the various faith communities in Chicago to try to get the word out and educate Catholics on the position of the Catholic Church. Is that a tough job? Is it getting tougher as times, economic times get more challenging and people are maybe just focused on other things?
Absolutely. It definitely is getting tougher. I mean, people, as you said, you know, a lot of people have their own problems right now with, you know, maybe they were laid off or, you know, maybe they're going to, you know, they're facing foreclosure, whatever that might be. And it's at moments like this when dangerous things happen legislatively because
that can almost slide through.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And that's exactly what the attempt.
And once it's passed, people said, what happened? How did that come about?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the thing is, too, again, people don't know about this bill, HB 2354. And then in addition, if they do know, they don't really get how bad this really is. I mean, you do not need to be pro-life to oppose this bill. You just have to have some common sense.
Mary Louise, you know, because you sometimes have to take the position, you know, people at a very rudimentary level is – tell us, if this bill were to pass again, how bad it could get or will get?
Well, there are basically five problems or problematic provisions of the bill. One is that it nullifies all common sense restrictions on abortion. So like parental involvement, born alive infant protection, all those types of things, physician-only requirement, where and when abortions could be performed. They could be performed by a school nurse in a public school clinic that receives funding without a parent knowing. I mean, this is insane. So that's one provision. The second is that it wipes away any conscience protections for medical professionals and would obligate Catholic hospitals and healthcare systems to assist patients in obtaining abortions in a timely manner. So they wouldn't necessarily have to perform the abortions themselves. They could say, hey, you got to go to this Planned Parenthood facility over here and I need to help you make that appointment. I mean, that is a direct violation
of conscience. Does this connect when Cardinal Francis George was talking a couple of months ago about Catholic hospitals may have to close down?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is along the same lines.
That's right.
Okay.
This is exactly like the Federal Freedom of Choice Act,
the FOCA.
Essentially. Right, exactly. The third problematic provision is it expands public funding of abortion significantly here in Illinois. The fourth is that it provides blanket, like broad immunity protections for abortion practitioners that harm pregnant women while they are performing the abortion. I mean, this is insane. And the fifth provision, the fifth is that it would mandate comprehensive sex ed in all public schools starting in kindergarten.
Oh, my heavens.
So
What's
the status of the bill?
This week I was down there testifying before the Human Services Committee and it passed out of that committee. It's now going to the floor of the Illinois House and it is close. I mean, yesterday there were two legislators signed on to this bill who voted with us on the parental notification issue. So the strength of the abortion lobby financially is frightening everybody into signing on. And it is close. I mean, this bill could pass out of the House. We have got to get people calling their state representative, their representative who serves in Springfield, immediately and urge them to vote no on 2354.
Okay. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majars on Relevant Radio 950 AM. And we're talking with Mary Louise Curry, the director of our Respect Life office, number 312-255-8408, 255-8408. Call with a question for Mary Louise. We'll be back right after a break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World.
or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. Don't boss me around. 9:50 a.m. Wayne Manjars and Father Greg Sackler.
Okay, once again, take
Mary
your
Louise,
headphones sets off.
Mary Louise Curry.
On the corner, think about what you just said.
Is with us. Always nice to see you, Mary Louise. We've talked about some of the, especially Bill 2354 at the state level. Let's talk a little bit about the federal side of things, because this past week, President Obama reversed President Bush's stance on funding embryonic stem cell research. What does that mean?
Well, there are different types of stem cell research, adult stem cell research using umbilical cord blood, and a new kind of method, which is induced pluripotent stem cells, where they take adult stem cells and they reprogram them to have the kind of flexibility that scientists want and seek in embryonic stem cell research. But embryonic stem cell research basically requires dismembering embryos that are between 5 and 7 days old in order to obtain stem cells, which are very flexible cells. And a lot of scientists state that embryonic stem cell research has become, in the words of actually the first female director of the National Institutes of Health, has become obsolete, because there have been a number of studies now with treatments with embryonic stem cells that show that these create cancerous tumors, and it's very difficult to distinguish which stem cells actually are abnormal and would create cancerous tumors and which would not. So in spite of these findings, and there have been a lot just in the past 6 weeks that this is obsolete, there still is a very strong biotech industry that's pushing for federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
Now, the bottom line for Catholic solvers is that this speaks right to the issue of when life begins.
That's right, exactly. And when you look at any standard embryology textbooks, you know, my sister, when she was in med school, she called me. She's like, I've got three textbooks here. They all say that human life begins at fertilization. So there's no question scientifically about when human life begins. But embryonic stem cell research, it's very trembling because, again, in fact, it's unacceptable. We shouldn't be doing this research at all, dismembering young members of the human family, never mind now expanding federal funding for this.
I think it's important for our listeners to know, and you can say more about this, Mary Louise, is that the Catholic Church is not against stem cell research.
That's right.
So I think it's very important to know that. Mm-hmm. It's just embryonic stem cell research. When mm-hmm. some people have come up to me and said, oh, the Catholic Church is against stem cell research, I say, no, it is not. Much of stem cell research is wonderful. It's this whole right. area of the embryonic stem cell research. Now we're getting to matter, you know, which is really, really of a different nature. And so say more about that, because I think, you know, people lump it all into one boat, and you can't do that.
That's right. The real question is the source of the stem cells. So umbilical cord blood, that's wonderful. Bone marrow, other areas where adult stem cells can be taken from. But it's when we have to kill innocent human life. The end never justifies the means. Even if this research was very fruitful, we could never say, hey, it's okay to kill innocent human beings, you know, to help others. That would always be wrong. I mean, imagine if you were that human being. We can see why that's wrong. But especially what's emphasized with this decision is it's a tragic decision to expand this funding, both from a moral perspective and a scientific perspective.
With the change in leadership in Washington and the shift of power, if you will, do you, looking in your crystal ball, do you see right-to-life issues over the next 4 years or so really being under siege?
Absolutely. It's going to be incredibly challenging. And just even these past few months have been some of the most difficult and busiest I've been in, you know, this Respect Life directorship for over 6 years. And I have never been so busy as I have, especially these past few weeks with negative legislative developments. So it's really, it's hard because resources are getting scarcer with the economy and demand for Respect Life ministry is exploding, basically.
Well, I think, interesting, you said earlier, Mary Louise, is that one group that has raised like over $1 million and they have such strength with an economic perspective, mm-hmm. where we seem to have numbers of people but not the economic backing. But just listening to you, I get the impression, are we gaining ground or are we losing ground on this whole battle?
Well, unfortunately, we're losing ground. I don't want to seem too negative. I hate to, you know, I always like to smile, so I hate to be a downer, but but we're really losing ground right now. We're losing ground federally, but we're also losing ground in our state.
And maybe you can just let our listeners know, ask, you know, the whole situation of the induced pluripotent stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? And what does that mean?
Induced pluripotent stem cells are stem cells that are from an ethical source, like adult stem cells. They could be from one's skin or things like this. And then they are reprogrammed to take on pluripotency, which means it's a very flexible. It could become a lot of different types of tissue or bone or things like that. So induced pluripotent stem cells are stem cells that where the pluripotency, that flexibility, is induced. And this is such a huge development. Science Magazine said this was the greatest scientific breakthrough of 2008. And Jamie Thompson, who isolated the first human embryonic stem cell at the University of Wisconsin, he said, "I'm going to stop working with embryonic stem cells because these induced pluripotent stem cells are better for treatments and they're just as flexible as
embryonic." So why the push for embryonic?
Well, it's really, I mean, that's sort of the debate. There are a lot of people who have just vested in embryonic stem cell research. You know, it's just a special interest kind of thing, or they're misled. They still think this would be, you know, would work for cures. And one thing Father Tad Poholchik says is they want to get at the tree of life. Hey, we can actually create human life now or manufacture it through in vitro fertilization and other methods. We want to get at actually building people. So it's even kind of a deeper desire. That's right.
House Bill 2354, now back at the state level. You mentioned before the break the importance of Catholics stepping forward and really letting their representatives know what their position is. What's the best way to do that, and how can they even find out what their state, who their state rep is? They may not know that.
Right, exactly. A lot of people say, "Well, I know who my rep is, and it's Congressman whatever." No, that's somebody in Washington. Exactly. That's somebody in Washington, D.C. But we're talking about who is your state representative in Springfield representing you in that the Illinois House. You can go to www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org.
Now, Mary Louise, again, one more time.
Sure.
You can go to
www.CatholicConferenceofIllinois.org, and then you can go to Find Your Legislator, and which is a link there kind of on the right-hand side of the page. Or you can call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355.
That number once again.
Oh, 312-534-5355.
And they will help.
We'll help you look up your legislator. And when you look up your legislator, either on the internet or through us, then we will give you that phone number as well so that then people
can call. So people can either call or write. And I think please let our listeners know, you know, many people have said to me, my letter makes no difference. My phone call makes no difference. And I say to people the exact opposite. Say more about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these legislators, you probably won't get an opportunity to talk with the legislator, but even sometimes you may. But the secretaries just write down. They keep tallies of, okay, we have, you know, three yeses for HB 2354 and, you know, 25 noes. That makes a big difference because the thing is these districts are pretty small. So a small number of phone calls even can make a difference. And if you can, for example, if you can mobilize 10 people at your parish to call your state representative today or Monday, that makes an enormous difference. So I really urge people to call the Respect Life office if you don't have your state rep's number at 312-534-5355 or go to CatholicConferenceofIllinois.org to look up who that is. But we really need the phone calls because this is all we've got. We have the people, but it doesn't matter if people's voices aren't heard. And the phone calls make more of an impact to than letters do generally, because letters, they
I was going to ask you, do you find phone calls actually are more powerful in response than a letter?
That's right. Absolutely. Because letters can sit in a pile or they may not open it till 5 days later after the vote is taken, you know, that kind of thing. This vote's not going to be taken next week, we don't think, but it may be the week after. So we've really got to push now because more and more people every day are signing onto this bill.
We need to bring this program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Mary Louise Curry, the director of our Respect Life office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, for the great work you do, Mary Louise. And no, you've got a very tough job. You're not in this alone. We have to be with you, and of course, through prayer, through the Lord, to really, you know, change hearts from apathy to some real vision and direction and some, you know, forceful decisions that have to be made. Also want to thank in a special way co-host Wayne Magyar, Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University. Wayne, it's always been great to have you with us.
I can't wait
until
the next time.
Until the next time. me too. Thanks also to our wonderful producer, Jim Dish, engineer, Michael May, for a tremendous program.
He did an okay job.
Michael had a lot of questions today. To our listeners, have a great weekend. God bless to all.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.